In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we remember Saint Mary of Egypt. And the reading appointed for her is that which is also appointed for women martyrs, because she was a type of martyr, a voluntary martyr who endured martyrdom in the desert, martyrdom where she cut off all of her desires, her sinful desires, over a period of many, many years, and finally reached a state of sanctity and blessedness. Now, one of the Pharisees had a dinner and invited Christ. And during this dinner, a woman came in who was a sinner, that is a euphemism for a prostitute. And she came in with a box of ointment, very expensive, fragrant ointment, which actually is used for anointing of the dead, and the rich people would use it to make things smell nice. And she washed his feet with the tears from her eyes, wiped her feet with her hair, his feet with her hair, and anointed his feet with the ointment. Now, this is a rather odd thing to have happen in the middle of a dinner, especially in the Pharisee's house. Why would one expect a sinful woman to have anything to do with such a esteemed religious personality? And so the Pharisee thought within himself, Christ doesn't know who this person is. He must not be really a prophet. The man Simon did not understand. So Christ tried to tell him in an example. Simon, I have something to say to you. All right, Master, say on. He says, one man owes 500 pence and another 50, and the creditor forgives them both. Which one loves him the most? And Simon answers correctly, the one to whom the creditor forgave most. There is a great mystery in these words, because all of us have much that needs to be forgiven. If we are aware of our sins, then we should feel like the man who owes the 500 pence, not the one who owes the 50. Then we would have great gratitude towards our Savior for forgiving our sins. But because we're very foolish and don't see things very well, somewhat myopic, we don't see many of our sins. And if we don't see our sins, then we don't really feel much gratitude that the Lord forgives us and helps us. I tell you, we were talking about gratitude yesterday when we were talking about our Father in our Bible discussion Saturday afternoons. Gratitude is one of the highest of the virtues. How can we not have a sense of gratitude towards the Lord for all that He's done for us? If we truly understand ourselves, who we are, we know that we're sinners. We know that we're weak. We know that we forget much. We know that we have nothing worthwhile to give to the Lord as an offering for our sins. And yet, He has adopted us, and we can call Him Father, just as His Son calls Him Father. His Son by nature, us by adoption. We should have such gratitude in our hearts concerning the Lord's grace given to us that it should motivate us in everything we do. Now this woman was highly motivated to go in and to make repentance before the Lord and publicly show her gratitude. And we should also publicly show our gratitude. Now, how do we do such a thing? Doesn't it make sense that we should love those whom the Lord loves? If He loves us and has saved us, shouldn't we desire to please Him by loving those whom He loves? By kindness to others? By not judging others? By prayer for others? Works of mercy towards others, whether it be almsgiving or any other material means, or whether it just be caring for them, being concerned about them, checking on them, helping them. Gratitude should motivate everything you do in your life, brothers and sisters. With this woman, it did. Now, the Lord says to Simon to try to amplify this little parable that He gave to him. He said that, you see this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, and yet she, from the time I have come in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. What are all these things the Lord is speaking of? This is our actions. This is our living out of what we say we believe. Certainly, He's speaking of the oil and the tears and the hair. But metaphorically, He's speaking of all good works which we do because of our love for our Savior. You know, that's why we should do good. Not because it is required of us, but because within the heart should be a sense of love for God which propels us, impels us, forces us to do things as God would have them done. And it's a great privilege to do things that are holy, to participate in God's love for the world. All of us should feel a great desire to be part of this holy work, whether it be in our prayer, our almsgiving, our fasting, our cutting off our sinful desires, things that nobody else even knows about, just in the heart, kindness towards others. All these things are participating in God's love for the world. He loved us. St. John says, we love Him because He first loved us. My family makes fun of me. I keep saying that's my favorite verse, and then I say another one's my favorite verse. But that's, I think, my favorite verse of the entire Bible. We love Him because He hath first loved us. Because He has sanctified us, given us the opportunity to become sons and daughters of God with all the privileges that a son and a daughter has, not as a stranger anymore, but as a son and daughter adopted by God. We should have such joy over this knowledge that it should motivate us to do many good things. Now the Lord says to Simon, He says, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And there's a little bit of a riddle here. There's a double meaning to what the Lord is saying. Now, all of us should know our sins, but unfortunately we don't know them very well. If we knew how many sins we really have and how the Lord is merciful despite our actions or lack of actions, our impurities, we certainly would feel like we have much forgiven, and then we would love much. The more you know about yourself and the more you know about God in parallel, the more you love God, because you see yourself and God and you see the contrast, and yet God still loves, and yet God still forgives. The only way to have this kind of love is to be able to see things as they really are, see yourself as you really are, and to understand God as He really is. But there is another meaning here. People who do not repent of their sins, people who hold on to their sins, whether they be Christian or not, they're not forgiven their sins. And since little is forgiven them, they love little. We are very reactive creatures. The Lord created us such that we would react to His love much like a flower reacts to the light and grows towards the light. If we do not live a virtuous life and struggle against our sins, then we don't feel the warmth and the light of God coming into the dark recesses of our heart. We don't feel the consolation. Only a person who has repented of sin can know consolation. A person who's enmeshed in some sin cannot understand the consolation that a person can have when they leave off with something, even something that they desire very much or that they're very addicted to. We must be aware of our sins, and we must also repent of our sins actively, with tears, with blood. When we do those things, the Lord forgives us, but much more than just forgives us. He enlightens us. He warms us. You know, in our country we have, and I think in the Western world, we have a very poor, puny conception of what forgiveness is and what mercy is. Mostly it's believed it's when a person deserves to be punished and the punishment sentence is commuted. That's not God's mercy. God's mercy is where He fills us with Himself, and where, despite our sins, He invigorates us, makes us truly alive. If you feel God's mercy in your heart like this, then you would be filled with gratitude, and the gratitude impels you to do works of purity, works of according to the commandments, sometimes quite difficult and onerous things, sometimes painful things. But it should be because of what's within the heart. Now, if you say your prayers because you know you're supposed to, or you fast because, well, that's the rule, then you're not understanding why we do works of righteousness. Those things are important. They are very much an important part of the Christian life. But those things, as well as every other work of righteousness, whether it be just in the heart or whether it be with the body or with the lips, must come from within the heart, from our gratitude for what the Lord has done for us. This woman shows us how one should have gratitude. Now, she put herself out as an object of ridicule. Certainly there was a possibility that a couple strong young men were going to just toss her out the door and into the street. But because of her love, she didn't think of such things. She just wanted to somehow show Christ how grateful she was that he forgave her. She knew she was forgiven when she came in. That's why she anointed him, out of gratitude for forgiveness. It said the woman was a sinner. Well, she wasn't a sinner anymore. You know, when the Lord says the tax collectors and the prostitutes are coming into heaven ahead of you, speaking to the Pharisees, he's speaking of the repentant ones, not the ones who continue to ply their trade and don't repent. Brothers and sisters, examine your heart. Are you happy that you are a Christian? Are you glad that the Lord loves you and has given you many blessings? Do you feel these blessings? Or do you feel the weight of your worldly duties upon you such that you don't even pause to be glad in the Lord? Examine yourself. If you feel all the things that God does for you, then you'll have such joy. Now the joy will motivate you to do things that will not be that won't be pleasing. Cutting off your desires if they're sinful ones. Being merciful to people who aren't merciful to you. Being kind to your enemies. Those things are all difficult. But they are all possible because the Lord makes us capable. He doesn't make us do them. He makes us capable of doing them. Be motivated, brothers and sisters, in your life by gratitude. And if you don't have enough gratitude, if you don't think enough about God's mercy towards you, then you'd best work on it. You'd best read the scriptures, especially those parts of the scriptures that are about speaking of God's redeeming us. Many of the Psalms are very beautiful for this. Many of St. Paul's epistles are very good for this. Anytime any of the Lord's healings, there's a deep inner meaning to all of them, of how he heals the soul. School yourself to be grateful. Don't be like those 9 lepers that did not come back to the Lord and show and thank him. Be like that 1 leper who came back to the Lord and worshiped him because he had done something for him. Be aware of your sins, and also repent of your sins. And those 2 things will cause you to love God much, because God will abide within you, and you will feel a warmth that no one can take away from you. May God help you to be grateful for the blessings God has given you. Amen.